Welcome back. We're at the Microsoft booth live at GDC. I am Adam Tulliper. I am a tech evangelist and software engineer with Microsoft, living in sunny Southern California. And I'm here interviewing Jesse McCulloch. Jesse has been instrumental in the mixed reality community. Jesse, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I've been doing mixed reality development ever since HoloLens came out. I was Wave 1 developer and jumped right into it. And I've kind of gone headfirst into it, you could say, and started up a community around it, and it's been super successful and having a lot of fun with it.
So what wave were you when you got your first HoloLens?
I was wave one.
Wave one.
Yeah. So,
so you were hardcore into it, ready to...
That's kind of a really interesting story is when I filled out my stuff to for the developer edition, there was like a bunch of questions on there, like, what are you gonna build with this? What kind of cool technology? I'm like, I have no idea what I'm gonna do with this thing. And that's literally what I wrote down. Like, there was five questions and I wrote, I don't know, I have no idea. And I'm like, I am gonna be the last person on earth to get one of these things. Then all of a sudden I get this email, it says, hey, you're wave one. And I was like, really?
Wow, that's pretty cool. I think I got mine wave four, so that's interesting. So you had never done development before then, or you had never done mixed reality development?
I had never done mixed reality development. Yeah. I was working for an enterprise company doing JavaScript. I've always been kind of a fan of Microsoft technologies, but I hadn't really dove into any 3D stuff.
Now, if I recall, were you a bit newer to development technologies? In other words, how long have you been a developer for?
I've been a developer now for 8 years.
8 years, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so mixed reality came out, and you're like, I have no idea what this is all about. Let me get into this.
Yeah, when I jumped into it, I had to learn Unity. I had a pretty good baseline on UWP, but never in a professional sense, just kind of as a hobbyist. But yeah, all the 3D stuff was brand new to me.
That's really cool.
It's a whole different paradigm to think in that way.
Is that your Wave 1 device?
It is.
Very cool. So you got a device and you started up a community. You started a Slack channel.
Yeah.
And that's really grown to be, I think, something that you spend a lot of time helping to the community grow. And so for Microsoft, thank you for that. I think that's awesome you've done that. But developers kind of often wonder, the device has been on the market for now. It's established. And so the developer community has grown. And it's really instrumental for folks like you to help that community. And even at times when we're quieter on future details, the community is still extremely strong and helping each other out. Can you talk about what goes on in that developer community and what that's like?
Yeah, so, it's interesting because you say that this is a kind of an established device, but it's still such a new market that nobody's really cornered it yet. So if you're out there and you're interested in it, don't wait. This market's not cornered at all. So in the Slack community, we get people that come in and have never done HoloLens development, and we get people who come in who have been doing it since the early days of it. And we've got all kinds of channels in there. We've got channels about Unity, so if you have questions about doing Unity development in relationship to HoloLens or the mixed reality immersive headsets.
Cool.
We've got a help channel where you're like, I'm struggling with this, I need some help. We've got specific channels about the different conferences. We've got a build channel for the build conference coming up here in May. So kind of a little bit of everything.
That's interesting.
And we try and just keep the news as open as we can. And
so do you find that developers help each other on that channel?
Oh yeah, right? It's almost entirely developer led.
Okay, I've got an issue with this. Can you guys help me out, figure out how to do spatial mapping, spatial understanding, and that's phenomenal.
Yeah, and people will drop code in there and say, oh, this is how I solved it, or that's not really possible yet. We're hoping that, it'll come through in the next, build update or whatnot.
And so when I mentioned established device, so they were talking about the device has been out for a bit now,
right.
API is established. We're growing over time. The mixed reality toolkit has gotten, initially the Holo toolkit, right?
Right.
Now it's the mixed reality toolkit, and we've been adding features over time. You've been a contributor to the mixed reality toolkit as well?
Yeah, I sit in on the team that does the weekly shiproom calls for that. So we look at the issues that are open out there, what we have time to work on, kind of guiding new features,
okay.
And then trying to pull more people into being contributors, because it really is a community effort.
Isn't it? It's kind of interesting because folks will see, hey, you're not running a Windows phone or something. Aren't you all only Microsoft, only kind of Windows ecosystem? It's like, no, we try to enable developers everywhere. And so a lot of that has been the open source movement that we have.
Yeah.
And so the Mixed Reality Toolkit being an open source community project, you would probably know best. There's a lot of community effort that goes into maintaining that toolkit. Yeah, we have folks that work at Microsoft that do that, but absolutely rely on community support and folks like yourself, right?
Yeah, I'd say at this point it's equally as many community developers are putting time in as there are Microsoft people.
Which is
really awesome. We've got a couple of people who are really super strong in there and in there making a large number of changes, but a lot of people will say, hey, I built this, and we're like, hey, can we put it in there?
Sounds good. Let's pull it in the toolkit.
Yeah.
That's neat. So you have a talk that you're going to do, is it today?
Yep.
What time? 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock, yep. Over here in the Azure Cloud Theater.
Tell us about that talk.
So I'm going to be talking about the AR Cloud. So if you're not aware of what the AR Cloud is, it's this idea that our physical world needs a digital representation. And once we have a digital representation of that world, we can start sharing digital content.
Now, when you say our physical world needs a digital representation, are you talking purely maps?
To start with, yeah.
Okay.
So maps of the areas. Maps get kind of interesting because you've got features in mapping that are permanent features, like the columns in this building.
Yeah.
Never going to change. And then you've got features of objects that are not necessarily so permanent, tables and stuff that can move around. So that's one of the challenges, is being able to differentiate things that are going to stay where they're at versus things that could get moved around and can kind of change the environment that you're working in.
Would things that are going to get moved around just not be mapped, not included in this representation?
Either not mapped or we need a way of identifying them.
Okay.
Right now, it's really hard just because the technology's not there as far as the hardware for being able to look at something and say, I recognize that this is probably a table because it's got a flat surface between a certain height,
yeah,
and it's got legs that go down to the ground, so I can reason that this is a table and at some point it could probably move.
Right.
But we'll get there.
We'll get there, right? We see, the advent of modern GPUs has really enabled AI to take off. And we have cognitive services. You can look at a picture of a table,
yep,
and know it's a table in a picture, but you might not know in space where it's at, right? And on
right.
The flip side, we have the HoloLens, which does its spatial understanding and mapping, and it doesn't know what a table is unless you define a surface, right, a half meter off the ground and 2 square meters.
Right.
It doesn't know it's a table. It knows there's a mesh,
right,
a flat surface there.
Right. We can reason that something's sittable, or what we can call sittable, which means it's probably a chair or a couch or some surface that somebody could sit on.
And so by sittable, you mean I've defined something to the API. I've said it's a half meter off the ground. It has a flat surface area. We'll call that sittable.
Right.
And therefore, a 3D character could come walking up and sit down on there or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of where two ends of the spectrum. Computer vision can understand it. The HoloLens can map it. And we kind of need to meet in the center there.
Yep.
And so once that happens, so when you talk about the AR cloud, what does this mean? Like, what can we do with that then?
So once we can do that, developers could put out, say, their application puts digital content into the real world, either through HoloLens or through an AR kit phone or whatnot.
Okay.
Once they have a shared understanding of the world, it can place that digital content in the world and know where it is in relationship to the physical world. And now you could have somebody with a different device, say a HoloLens or AR kit or whatever, come in and look at it through their device, and you guys can look at the same content in the same world space. And the reason this is important is because right now AR is a very lonely experience. If I'm wearing my HoloLens and my girlfriend comes home, I could be wandering around doing this all over the house, and she has no idea what I'm doing because
yeah,
she can't see it, because it's only a personal experience for me. And there are shared experiences where you can have multiple HoloLenses looking at the same stuff, but we're not really at a point where that's common yet.
It's not generalized, right? We have third parties that make sharing services. We have open sourced collaboration features, but you're right, there's an application that has to be baked in.
Yep.
So do you see this becoming like a standard API where folks across any AR type experience can just pull in this information and then it gets rendered on their device and they have some understanding of it?
Yeah, and one of the things that we're working on, the company I work for is called Practical VR, one of the things we're working on is cloud sourcing the data gathering. So having people out there who are doing these different applications implement our mapping experience. So what they do is they put our mapping experience at the front end. When somebody maps a space, it gets uploaded to our cloud service. And so the idea being that if somebody else comes in later, we can say, and they pull up an app that uses our mapping service, we can say, we recognize this space. Rather than making you map it, we'll just download it to your device.
So then you build out this database of understanding of all these spaces inside and outside as well, right?
Yep.
And somebody else comes to the space, indoors, how would this work? How would somebody know that this space has already been mapped, for example?
So what they do is they launch whatever application it is they're going to use, and if that application implements our mapping service, then they come in and they'd start it up. Our mapping service would start at the front end of their app, and once we get enough reference points, we can say, oh, I recognize this based on, you know, the Wi-Fi signature that you're connected to, and then some initial point cloud data that we start gathering.
I gotcha. So there's different methods to understand a space. I look around the hall that's here, and the chairs and the features in here. And so you look at the Wi-Fi fingerprinting of the area and spatial mapping features. There's walls in certain areas,
right.
So the algorithms detect that. That's very interesting. Do you suspect that places are unique enough to do that, or will there be some confusion initially?
I think we're going to have a mixture of both. There's some places that you're going to go into that are absolutely unique, and then some people, when you go into a conference room, every conference room in that office building is exactly the same, and it's going to be really hard to differentiate them.
Folks ask or say, hey, so the HoloLens can do spatial mapping. What happens if I go halfway around the world and I put it in a room that looks just like the room I came in? I'm like, well, it's going to think you're in that same room halfway around the world, right? So that is, I guess, a common thing, and we might not have the information available to get around that, especially if there's no Wi-Fi signals around and some other difficult, you know, issues to solve on that front. How do you think we'll deal with different device capabilities? So, for example, I'm on a HoloLens and I'm rendering something at whatever poly level, you know, maybe 100,000 polygons in there, and we're at some other device that's maybe a little bit older and doesn't have that same rendering capabilities. How do you think that would share across?
Yeah, so that's going to be a matter of developers building their experience with probably different levels of detail.
Okay.
Similar to what you can do now. Like, you can build a game that works on PC and Xbox all the way down to a mobile phone. You just have to make sure that it's set up right so that it looks at the GPU and the CPU and says, hey, this is what I'm capable of. This is what I'm going to sacrifice, basically.
So the platform that you guys are working on then is really going to be understanding with the spatial mapping around us, understanding space. And then me as a developer, I would go in and say, okay, I understand where I am. I understand somebody else has instantiated a gremlin here. My other application is going to query that API and say, hey, there's a gremlin. It's up to the application to say, this 3D model, you already know about it.
Right.
So if somebody else is running a different application in the same space, there's a separation there, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. What's some interesting use cases that you foresee this type of technology being used in?
So the further you get into the future, the more interesting the use cases get, right? Because the technology gets better. It gets smaller.
More lightweight and better battery.
Yeah. Eventually, this is going to be a pair of glasses that just you wear all the time, right? So once we have a reasonable understanding of the world and the objects in the world, you can actually start to infer actions. So maybe the city of San Francisco is on a kick for cleaning up their parks.
Yeah.
And they can infer that you reach down and grab something off the ground and you put it in a receptacle that they know is a trash can, and now they can offer some sort of reward base.
Oh, fascinating.
To you.
Interesting.
So once we get past maps and objects, we can start inferring actions.
That's fascinating. So we can use AI then in the future to understand user actions, incentivize them, reward them, you know, with this opt-in behavior to. That's fascinating. And I really like the idea that we can share experiences right now, or that we'll be able to have a better way to share experiences between mobile devices and the HoloLens. So back to the HoloLens here, because you've been so active in the community, do you have a favorite kind of application or application of the device that you've seen so far?
So it's interesting because I've been playing with it for so long, and I use the word play because sometimes that's what it feels like. It's such amazing technology. But I also forget how amazing it is because I'm in it every day. So one of my favorite things to do is put it on people who have never used it before.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm in coffee shops working or whatnot. People are like, hey, it used to be like, hey, what's that? Now it's like, hey, is that a HoloLens? So we're getting further.
Yeah. People recognize what the device is now. Sure.
But I love to put it on people and just show them, like, play some holograms. Like, whenever I go into a Starbucks and I start working, the first thing I do is I fire it up and I go into the holograms app and I start putting holograms around, because eventually somebody's going to come up and want to see it.
And it's all set then.
And it's already set up.
You've set the trap.
Yeah, exactly. Holotours is a great experience to drop people into.
Yeah.
For if you haven't done it, it basically is a 360 video that you're in of either Rome or Machu Picchu, and it's stunning the stuff that they've done with it. Fragments, if you've got a good long time to go play it, is such a fun game. I remember the first time I put it on, if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of a detective game where you're the detective, and you have virtual counterparts that kind of beam into your living space.
Yeah.
And at one point, one of the virtual characters, like, I had Bart in my house, and they like put their hands up and hiked themselves up and sat on the bar. And when they did that, I was like, this is the most amazing technology in the world.
My mind has been blown.
Right.
Yeah. I tell folks, so Fragments is hands down my favorite experience, just because it really integrates, you know, it overlays a new floor, it's raining out, you see rats running around, and these characters integrate with your environment. You know, we were talking before about how do you understand space? Well, we can define a sittable surface to the HoloLens and understand that we can take a 3D character and sit down there. And the fact that that is here now, we can have 3D characters that integrate with our real world is phenomenal to me. I mean, it changes how we can interact with applications entirely. Think about, for me, I think going forward with bots, right?
Yep.
We talk about conversation as a platform as kind of this new way of apps to communicate with their users. But imagine when we have these 3D assistants that can be shared even across spaces too, and are context aware and can hang out in our living rooms and talk. I think it's going to be a whole new frontier on there. It's super exciting.
Yeah, one of my favorite videos that Microsoft put out is kind of this experience where a woman's trying to design a shoe store, and she's using mixed reality to do it. And she's got a little bot that hangs out with her. She brings her other coworkers in from remote locations, and they all collaborate on designing this space. And it's interesting to watch it because all that technology is there in its own individual form.
Yeah.
We just haven't tied it all together yet.
Yeah.
And once we do, it's going to be amazing.
So we were talking about that excitement when you put a device on somebody's head for the first time. And I'm the same way. Like, it is hands down one of my favorite things to do. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to put a device on a 98-year-old World War II vet who was one of the remaining Tuskegee Airmen. And we were in an aviation museum, and he put a device on his head, and he starts walking around looking at holograms. Like, this is amazing. Like, this just made my year. So it's phenomenal. It is one of the best things about it. Well, Jesse, so what kind of time frames do you think that we're looking at going forward with this AR cloud?
Practical's getting started with it now. We're about ready to release our SDK out a little bit later this year. So the sooner we start building it, the sooner it'll be available in a wider form.
Okay.
It's one of those technologies you can look at and you can say, this is 10 years down the road, or you can look at it and say, we're going to start on it right now and just do what we can and then iterate on it and make it better. And that's what we've decided we're going to do.
So how do folks find more information about the SDK?
Go to our website, experience.practicalvr.com.
Okay.
We can sign up for the mailing list. We've got a little bit about the company. We also do analytics for HoloLens, so you can find out about that.
Very cool.
Follow me on Twitter, at JB McCulloch, McCulloch. I'm more than happy to answer questions and get people involved. And
very cool. And you've been incredibly helpful in the HoloLens Developer Slack channel. How do people find that?
The website's really long. Message me on Twitter and I'll send it to you.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you today, and I'm sure we'll talk more mixed reality.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you very much.